Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Tuesday edition on just a gorgeous evening, morning in Nashville, although it started as a gorgeous evening last night, right around whenever my kids went to bed, whatever time that is, about 7 o'clock last night, It started pouring. It's just been pouring ever since, and the temperature continues to drop. I would not worry about ice out there, really that big a deal. The roads were, it's too warm for that, I believe, but it is really dangerous out there, so be careful. I got on the interstate by the Titan Stadium today, Derek and Mark and Munson. Sorry,
Munson.
I'm getting ready. I'm getting used to the Munson thing. You just don't look like a Munson.
Yeah, because I don't look like Woody Harrelson Bowling either. So.
Right. And I hate my last name. You probably love your last name.
No, I hate it.
You don't like your last name?
No, I don't.
All right.
Because my mom's last name, which I could have got, was Washington. Which is very like
Marquise Washington.
Marquise, I like that.
Yeah, Marquise Washington. Yeah. I think you should just that should be your on air pseudonym. I like
Marquise
that.
Marquise Washington.
So I get on right there at the Titan Stadium, and there is, you know, those giant conversion vans like the like the A team used to drive. You know, that's really dated. It's a really dated reference for. I don't think that's it.
Yes, it is.
Maybe it is.
I think so. Or is that
Marquise?
Dallas.
Munson. I think that was Dallas.
Yeah, it might have been Dallas.
A-Team was fantastic. I love the A-Team. But that also is a very dated reference for anyone under the age of 30 that's listening to the show. So, you know those big vans, though? It was literally upside down on its roof, up against the middle barrier. So it was dead stopped. And then about 100 yards up was a jackknife 18-wheeler up against the right side of the interstate. So, like, you literally had cops on both sides of the interstate, like, funneling people. You know how when there's an accident, you got to all get over to one side? So everybody had to get over to the right. Then we all had to get back over to the left.
Oh, Lord.
Craziness. So be careful. Long story short, be careful out there. And right now, if you're driving into town and you got to go past the Titan Stadium, I would say take a different route, alternate route, because I just came through there and I barely I can navigate past the Exxon and through the Titan Stadium parking lot and get on to the point where I can slip through because I know all the mischievous routes. But be careful out there, Nashville. It's very, very dangerous this morning, and it's only going to get colder. I'm willing to bet that. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
cool.
There we go.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding,
dude,
ding,
yeah, I like it. A little attitude there. So just be careful. Be careful. Before we get into anything we're going to discuss today, because we got a huge. Obviously, the Preds back on the ice tonight against San Jose.
Yes.
The Titans are continuing. This week is going to be a very interesting week. Just in general, as it plays out and builds up to the Texans game for the Tennessee Titans, so we'll get to that. There's going to be a lot of coaching news in college football. We've got the Heisman finalists announced, so we've got a lot to do. I do want to say one thing, though, and you guys do not know what I'm about to do here. We did not talk about this or plan this because I just wanted a second to say something. Thank you to JD, Dakota, Will and Tyler, Hunter, Travis, Cromag, I think is the name. Maybe that's the last name. Steven, Tim, some guy named Derek James. I believe that's you. And another guy named Marquise. I just want to say thank you to all of you guys for playing in the Fantasy League this year. You guys are great. Thank you guys for showing up. Some of you guys drove a couple of hours to be at the draft. We do appreciate it. It was spectacular and amazing. And I would just like to say thank you guys for all playing because I whipped all your asses. Number one, first place regular season champion,
woo-hoo,
me.
Woo-hoo.
Now, Marquise finished second. A quality performance from the Hot Pocket Passer. That's his team name, Derek. In case you haven't checked your lineup in a couple of weeks, because I don't think you have.
Wait, who?
No, Derek.
Oh, I was about to say, I
finished first, so I'd like to say, take that in the best radio phrase I can. Marquise, congratulations, you finished second. Maybe it's Vrabeline, which is a great team name, finished third, and Tim from Clarksville finished fourth. Those are the four teams that will make the playoffs. So, listening audience, you let Marquise and I dominate you guys this year. And Derek finished ninth out of 12.
That's not bad.
That's pretty bad.
That's not bad.
For someone who doesn't check his lineup, that's not actually not
that's
that
not bad.
Yeah, but that's bad. But ninth place, you should be ashamed of yourself.
No, that's not bad.
I'm just saying.
Hey, listen.
11-3, championship.
If you ain't first, you last. So.
Now all this yapping I'm doing in this 5-minute segment here, I got to play Tim from Clarksville. Munson has to play. Maybe it's Vrabeline. There is still a chance I could lose this whole thing, but I'm very confident.
Oh, but guess what though? I'm probably going to be without Alshon Jeffrey and without Mike Evans.
Now, Evans is a reason you could lose a championship. If you don't have Alshon Jeffrey, that's not a reason you're going to lose
I know, but that means I got to play Cole Beasley.
You should have a better answer than Alshon Jeffrey. But Mike
Evans. Cole Beasley. That's my answer.
Mike Evans.
My team's awful.
That's bad. So, thank you guys. I know you guys, way back when, a lot of you guys drove a long way to show up, so I wanted to say thank you guys to everybody who played in championship, although I haven't actually won it yet. I'm just bragging about my regular season championship.
That don't mean that.
Yeah, it doesn't really at all.
Yeah.
But...
You got to get the ship, man. The big ship.
The chip.
The big ship.
Yeah, no question about it. Preds back on the ice tonight against San Jose, and it'll be interesting to keep an eye on a few things. Kyle Turris, some of that new young blood that's been called up from Milwaukee, and, of course, the goaltending situation. So we'll keep an eye on all of that. But the Tennessee Titans, the big story about the Tennessee Titans, and we'll get into a little bit of this today, is, and we didn't touch on it a lot yesterday because yesterday I felt like was more about the game, Derek,
mm-hmm.
and reaction to how good that offense was, how good the team was against, you know, in a critical situation where they had to get a win. And they delivered what they needed to deliver, and then some, with all the statistical things that we talked about yesterday, the records they broke and the performances they had. But there is going to be, you know, right as the game was starting, I believe Diana Russini from ESPN kind of broke a story, a pseudo story. I don't even know how you, if you call it a story, really, mm-hmm. that there are conversations happening right now between the Titans and Ryan Tannehill about bringing him back. The problem is we've had that conversation a dozen times, mm-hmm. and she didn't really specify what that looks like. It doesn't feel like the franchise tag is an option, according to her. But other people have said the franchise tag is very much in play. So we didn't really get any new information with some of the reporting that was coming out. But at the end of the day, there is going to be a massive conversation about what Ryan Tannehill is, what he will be, how good can he maintain this long term, and do you pay for that? And are you going to get what you're getting right now? And I don't think, to be honest, I'm not trying to downplay what he's accomplished this year, because he's accomplished a lot. But you have no idea what you're going to get from him if you sign him for a 2 or 3 year contract. You can hope, mm-hmm. and you can think that you're going to get what you've seen the last 7 games, but you don't know that, because there's no other time in his career that he's shown you this. This is mm-hmm. the only time he's shown you this.
Yeah, you're right. But this is a hard situation for the Titans to be in from this standpoint, because they're rolling so good with Tannehill in the game right now as their quarterback. The offense is playing at a clip they have not played in decades, in over a decade. Probably longer than that.
Maybe ever.
Yeah.
I mean, now modern football rules and everything
exactly.
is very different.
So, you know, they're in a pickle right now. They got to figure out whether, you know, he is the guy, or do we want to start over? Because essentially, that's what it is. If you sign him to a deal, which would be he's 31, 32 years old, the way these quarterbacks are taking care of themselves nowadays, the way the league is now, he can, you know, I can foresee him playing until he's 36, you know, 37. He has a strong arm. So they got to figure out, are we going to sign him to a bridge deal, 2-3 years?
Will he take a bridge deal?
Or are we going to sign him to a, you know, 5-year deal with that last year or two being, you know, optional years? If he continues to play this way and he gets them into the playoffs, they're stuck. They're stuck with a 5-year deal.
No way I'm giving him a 5-year deal.
They're stuck.
No way.
What's your other alternative? What is your other alternative?
So,
you do is you give him a 5-year deal. The last 2 years, avoid it. It's really a 3-year deal. That's the good thing about football.
If he was 29, I'd probably agree with you.
But that's the good thing about football. I mean, you're not guaranteed all that money. So the team is not locked in for 2 extra years. If they give him 5 years, the first 3 years are guaranteed, basically, then they can get away with it. But they can't.
But he's going to ask for $125 million at 31 years old?
He's going to get 20 plus.
No, I agree.
That's what he's going to get.
But $100 million plus?
Whether it's, you know, 20, a year for 4 years. I don't know, five, close to 5 years. But that's the going rate. We can't look at it. See, we're just looking at the number. We can't do that because the way the league is, the salary cap, they can afford to pay him that money.
Yeah, no, and you're
and,
right.
And
about
go
that.
Out and get and still go out and still go out and build their team. You got to understand, there are a lot of guys that are there are a few guys that are coming off the books this year. They're going to release guys, veteran guys. They're going to be able to pay him and still build a team and still possibly
get their,
you know, get their quarterback in the draft. That's going to be an interesting thing. If they do sign him to a deal, do they then go and get a quarterback in the first round, or do they wait to the second or third round?
I think
round?
It depends on the deal.
Yeah.
And again, I have my own personal opinions versus what I would predict. And if, let's say hypothetically, they give him a 4 or 5 year contract, which again, I don't think that's even a possibility, but let's say it is, then I don't think you're basically saying to your team and to your fan base that Ryan Tannehill is the guy until he's 36 years old, or at least 34.
Uh-huh.
So he's our starter for the next 3 years, and we're going to pay him like that, which means you can't go draft somebody.
Oh, you can still draft somebody.
Because you cannot give someone a $125 million contract and then draft somebody in the first round who, if there's no way your first-round pick sits for 2 years. Maybe for 1 year he sits. I got no problem with that, a la Patrick Mahomes.
I don't think they're going to draft cool a quarterback that. In the first round.
That's what I'm saying. If you give him a deal that's worth that much money for that amount of time, there's no chance you're drafting somebody in the first round. You may get somebody in the third round to be a backup or whatever, and that's fine. I think there's a much more realistic chance that they do use the franchise tag than reporters are saying, because the Titans, when you know this from a negotiation standpoint, you negotiate, unfortunately, this is why you let agents negotiate for you, because you don't want to hear what the team says about you during negotiations, because they're going to try to downplay everything you've ever done. So if I'm John Robinson or Amy Adams Strunk or whatever, I'm in that meeting going, yeah, but look at your career, dude. We're not going to pay you based on 8 games or 10 games. We're going to pay you based on what we think you can do in the future, and this is your career. This is what we're going to pay you. Look how bad you were here, 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 and here, here, or average, let's say, whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe bad's a strong word. But you are risking everything if you do that. The strategy that is always, and I said this before he got into the game, before he's been great, I said this at the start of the year about either Marcus or Tannehill, that a bridge deal, a 2-year contract, it's obviously not going to be Jacoby Brissett level money, which is $15 million a year for 2 years. You give him a 3-year contract starting at age 32 next summer, so year 32, 33, and 34 in the NFL, which is not the same as it was before. It used, 34 is the new 38, or is the new 28, I should say. Uh-huh. You give him a 3-year deal where the final year the team has the control to, like you said, it's dead money. We can cut him and get rid of him, or you draft a quarterback and you live with Ryan Tannehill for 2 years. What I don't think is the smart strategy is to expect this level of return, the way he's playing today. I don't think it's reasonable to expect that way he's playing today to last for 5 years or 4 years or even 3 years. Yeah. Is that fair?
Like they're not going to look for him, because I mean, no quarterback has a streak like this. I mean, this is even the great ones.
This is Rodgers level stuff.
Even the great ones, they don't play at this clip the whole season. Now they might have a stretch and then they come back down, but then they're better than everyone else. But this is a stretch that only Rodgers, Russell Wilson has played in.
Breeze, Brady, Mahomes, whatever.
If you're talking about record wise, it's really only Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson in certain statistical categories. Those two guys that have played at this clip. And you're talking about one guy that's going to be in the Hall of Fame and the other guy's trending that way. So even the great ones don't play like that at a consistent level. But they play great throughout the years. But if you look at him, they're not expecting him. They know good well he's not going to play at this level for 16 games. No, they don't have.
Which means you can't give him $100 million.
Yes, but I'm going to explain why.
Right.
They're going to give him $100 million.
After the break.
Yes.
The text line also, by the way, open 615-737-1025. Tyler telling me that I'm already hanging banners out here like the Nashville Predators. And I said, you're damn right. If you win the Central Division Championship, you hang a banner. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got no problem with the Preds hanging banners. I won the regular season title. I'm hanging a banner. You're right, Tyler.
Mm-mm-mm.
Do better next time.
There you go.
More, Derek, you will explain more of this contract situation with Ryan Tannehill when we return. Also, how much credit does Mike Vrabel get for this turnaround? We'll do that when we return right here on Morning Drive. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. There is cheating back in the NFL, and it involves the Patriots. Shocking. We'll get to that a little bit as well. Floyd Reese coming up in just a few minutes. Yeah. Although, let's be very clear. The 8-5 Tennessee Titans in first place also got busted for cheating this year.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not overlook. I don't think people care about cheating across the league. The Patriots, people just hate the Patriots. All right. You are going to tell us, Derek Mason, why you think the Titans are going to pay that man his money.
Yeah. I'm looking at some numbers right now. And I'm looking at two quarterbacks. And by no means am I saying that Tannehill is better than this quarterback. But what I am saying is if you look at the numbers sort of, they are, because they both came in the same year. And they're both are sort of comparable in regards to completion rate, yardage, not necessarily touchdowns, because obviously Ryan missed the whole season, basically. Didn't he miss a whole season?
He missed like four or five games last year.
Yeah, he missed.
He did miss an entire season like 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years. So there's a season he didn't have any stats. I am comparing, and I am not saying he is anywhere close to this quarterback, because I don't think he is, because this quarterback has won a Super Bowl and took a team to another Super Bowl. If you look at his numbers compared to Russell Wilson, they both came in the same year. They're both completion rating is about the same, 63-64%. People would think Russell's was higher than that because of how well he plays, but it's not. He's a 64% completion guy. Russell has he has close to 30,000 yards. Ryan Tannehill has 22,000 yards. He beats him in touchdowns by almost 100, and his interceptions are down. Quarterback rating, both of them are high, but obviously Russell's a little bit higher. His is in the hundreds.
Yeah, Russell's a better player. We all know
that. Yeah, he's. But if you're going to take a quarterback, you're going to take Russell Wilson. But I look at it from this standpoint. Both of those guys came in 2012. Russell is making close to $40 million,
$35 million.
He took his team to a Super Bowl. His team was much better than Ryan's team. They were better coach than Ryan's team.
No way. Than the Dolphins?
Oh, of course.
you're crazy.
But if you look at Ryan Tannehill and what even at Miami, he gets a bad rap in Miami, but he didn't play bad. He played based upon what his team was. He never really had a good team. They went to the playoff 1 year. He never really had a good team. But he played. He played well when he was quarterback.
Yeah, he never made the team better around him.
When he wasn't quarterback, they were not good. When he did not play quarterback, they really were not good. Even the year they went to the playoffs, he played, I think, half of that season, somewhere around there, and then ended up missing the next whole season, basically. When he's inserted as the quarterback, the Miami Dolphins were a better team. Now, did they surround him with talent? No, they did not have any talent. They had a quarterback, they had a running back in Jay Ajayi, and they had Landry. But other than that,
they spent on some defensive players.
That defense still wasn't that good. The offense wasn't that good.
I do think they mistreated his injury as well, the knee injury that probably needed surgery at the end of the season where he got hurt. He then comes back and tears the ACL in practice on a non-contact drill, and then misses the whole year. I think much like you could argue the Titans mishandled Mariota's injuries. I think the Dolphins mishandled Ryan Tannehill's injuries to some degree.
And we always said, well, Marcus didn't have a talent. When they started surrounding him with talent, then we thought he was going to be a better player. It just never materialized. Well, Ryan now has talent, and Ryan is showing with talent he is a really good quarterback. Is he a great quarterback? No. Is he going to potentially guide you to a Super Bowl? The jury's still out. I mean, the ball has to bounce the right way. The way they're playing now, there's no team in AFC with the exception of the Baltimore Ravens, they could beat them. That's just the way I feel. The way they are playing now with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback, if they were to go in the playoffs right now, yeah. The only team I think that would beat him is Baltimore.
Which is, and again, back to the point of the contract discussion, which is the 7 or 8 game outlier of his entire career.
But it's
the outlier.
The numbers from a quarterback rating is an outlier, I think. But his decision making, that's not the outlier.
I agree with that.
His decision making is not the outlier. It's the numbers. If they sign Derrick Henry back and they continue to take this model that they have displayed over the last, 7, 8 games, which is run the ball, play action pass, he's going to make good decisions, then that tells me that he's going to be a really good quarterback in this league for the next, 4 or 5 years because of how they play their offense, how they go about with their offense. They're not putting everything on his shoulders. They're not asking him to throw the ball 30-some times a game. What they're saying is, you're going to throw the ball 25 times a game. And those 25 times a game, they're efficient passes.
We're going to run
Derrick Henry, and if the offensive line continues to play the way they're playing, then we're going to be all right. He's going to play at a Pro Bowl clip if they continue to do this. He's not going to have the numbers that he's having.
Right.
But for a 16-game season moving forward, if this philosophy they have continues to work.
Can he manage it? Yes.
He can manage. He's the guy that can manage it.
And I think you're right about that. I think it's not about like 73% completion percentage, 118 quarterback rating, leading the NFL in yards per attempt. Like, he's not going to do that over a 16-game season. But can he run this offense successfully? Like, just sort of as a general vague.
And I think they believe he can.
And I do too. Yeah. Again, I thought at the beginning of the year, whoever it was that was going to work out, and again, I thought it was going to be Marcus, but whoever was going to be the guy that worked out for them, I thought it was always going to be the right decision to bring one of them back for some amount of time. Now, it's ballooning out of control right now, and people are talking about 5-year, $125 million contract. Look at what you don't want is a Nick Foles situation. What you cannot have.
He's better than Nick Foles.
I totally agree. Better than Nick Foles. But you cannot give a guy $88 million over 4 years and then all of a sudden have your sixth round draft pick competing for him for starting time. Like, you can't afford. Like, the Jags are now regretting every quarterback contract they've ever given out, what seems like, So what you can't have is you have to be awfully sure that he's going to be able to maintain this level of success. There are plenty of people that believe he can. I think there's enough space to sign both Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, but that means that Jack Conklin is probably going to walk. Mm-hmm. Then you got to find money for Logan Ryan. There's other names on this roster that are going to be free agents as well. This is the constant churn of the NFL. These are just issues you got to deal with. I think that, in my head, in a perfect world, it is a 3-year deal worth about $75 million, with the final year being a dead year if they want it to be. That gives him 2 years when he's 32 and 33 years old, still relatively young, but getting up there, where they can find their next guy. That's what it feels like is the right concept for me. I don't think 5 years, $125 million, is a smart decision, even if the last 2 years are sort of like dead, voidable years. It feels like way too much money to give to Ryan Tannehill.
He's going to be the $100 million quarterback. He's going to get $100 million. However they give it to him, he's going to get it. If it's 5 years, because just think, 5 years, at the end of that fifth year, he will just be turning 36. At the end of that fifth year, just be turning 36.
And if he had 8 great years of play before this, I'd say, hell yeah, do it.
But all we've got is eight great games. But this is the going rate for quarterabacks. And he's a good quarterback. He's not a bad quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. He's a good quarterback. That's all they need in this offense is a good quarterback because of the way Derrick Henry will continue. This is not a fluke either with Derrick Henry. He's going to continue to run this way unless, barring injury, he's going to continue to run this way.
My issue isn't the dollar figure, right? Like, I don't get sticker shock for $23 million a year for a quarterback or 25. Like, that's the going rate. Like,
so it's going to be 4 year, 25. It's going to be 4 year, $100 million. That's just what they're going to give
him. It's the total and it's the years that concerns me more. Like, that's where my area, because, like, is what he's doing now sustainable over a 4 year period of time? And I don't think it is. This is where the franchise tag, I think, might actually be the best bet. What you're doing then is you're saying, all right, show it to us again for a full season when you're the guy starting the season.
They can't afford to say, show it to me again. I could see if he was, in the league 3 or 4 years, then yeah. but they can't afford, this guy's been in the league 7 years, 8 years, somewhere around there.
And none of it's looked this good, though. So that's my issue.
But it hadn't been bad either.
No, you're right. It just wasn't very good either. So I don't know. I think the franchise tag is also on the table as well. Floyd Reese, what would he do? What would a former general manager do with Ryan Tannehill? And how much does Mike Vrabel get credit for all this turnaround? We'll do that with Floyd Reese when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Remember, everybody, we are giving away a $100 gift card to A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa every single day. We will have another question for you guys. You need to be following and interacting at 1025 underscore MD. That's the Morning Drive Twitter account there. We'll be giving away a $100 gift card. We'll have a question for you coming up in just a few minutes. Floyd Reese joining us here on Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Braden Gall on ESPN 1025 The Game. Floyd, obviously there's reports that there are conversations taking place around Ryan Tannehill moving forward as the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. We all expected that. That is makes perfect sense, especially as he continues to play well. And I've asked you this what feels like every single week we have you on the show. What is the right end game here for the Titans and for the fans? Ryan Tannehill wants as many years and as much money as possible. We get that. Does the franchise tag work, give you a year to evaluate it? Is it a five-year, $130 million contract? Is it a three-year deal? If you're the GM, what are you pushing for right now if you're John Robinson?
You know, I always felt when you had contracts like this with players that caliber, I wanted to sit down with them and find out what it is they're looking for. I think everybody, when they go into these negotiations, they know that they can't have everything. You know, you're not going to have the best average and the best guarantee and the longest years and all of it. So you decide what it is that's important to you. And in Ryan's case, if they say, okay, fine, you know, I want to be the highest paid quarterback in the year of the season, you say, you know what, we can do that, but we can't guarantee it. You know, if you want it to look good, we can add another year and put $40 million in there and say, okay, your average is way up here, but what are the chances of you getting that? On the other hand, if they say, no, guaranteed money is what's important, then you can drop the average down. You can structure it so that, you know, he gets his guaranteed money, say, early or earlier, and maybe everybody's happy. But until you know exactly what they want, what they're looking for, you know, it's hard to push the right buttons. And so I always started there. You know, tell me what it is you're looking for.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Floyd. And the way that this NFL is structured with the salary cap being what it is and it's going up, you know, at a clip each and every year that we haven't seen before because of the money the NFL is making, paying him $25 million a year is basically chump change. You know, 10 years ago, $25 million makes him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. $25 million now makes you top 12 possibly in the NFL. And can the Titans, and that's the thing, can the Titans live with paying him $25 million over the next 4 years when at the end of the contract he's 36 years old? And if you do that, Floyd, then do you draft a quarterback in the first round or do you wait to draft your quarterback later on in rounds, or do you draft a quarterback at all this year?
You know, I think, again, if you were to sign him to a four-year contract, let's say, like you said, it's not essential that you draft a quarterback this year, in my opinion. Now, you're going to have to get a backup someplace. We all know that. But as far as going out and drafting a guy that you envision as his backup, the guy that's going to take over at some point in time, is not as urgent as it would otherwise be. Now, in the next, you know, in the second year or the third year, for sure you've got to do it because you would like that guy to have a year of seasoning and at least get himself ready to go out and play. But it takes a little bit of the pressure off of you, and it allows you to go out there and let's say, you know, the most important thing I need is a pass rusher. Well, maybe you can go out there and get a legitimate big-time pass rusher and kind of hold off on the quarterback till next year. If you fill some of the holes, they're in a position now where they're not having to go into the draft looking for 10 guys, you know, the way they were 4 years ago. They're going into a draft now, and they're saying, all right, I need these two positions to come out of this draft. And I always felt like if you could narrow it down that way, when you went into the draft, if I had to draft two or three guys at that position, I would do it just to make sure that position was covered. And then whichever one of those works out, that's great. But you're not searching for 10 guys as much as you're searching for one or two for real guys, you know, guys that can come in and help you. And consequently, when you're trying to fill those holes, it makes it a lot easier. Then next year you draft who you want. You know, you're not trying to fill a number of holes. You're trying to go out and get the best player. And if that's quarterback, then it's a quarterback.
Justin Fields. Floyd Reese joining us here on the show. Of course, host of Jared and the GM, babysitting Stillman in the afternoons from 2 to 6. Hotcakes and syrup, Gerald and the coach, SpongeBob and Krusty,
Mr. Krabs.
We got all kinds of nicknames for you guys. All in good fun, of course, and in love, Floyd. My question about Houston, and, you know, Mike Vrabel did a masterful job with Blaine Gabbert as his starting quarterback last year at home. In like week two, I think, against Deshaun Watson, but he was kind of recovering from an injury. How concerned are you about the injuries in the secondary and the health of this Texans offense? That they struggled this week against the Broncos in sort of bizarre fashion. What are you most concerned about from a matchup standpoint with the Texans?
You know, I think it has to be the receivers. And I have to believe that, you know, a game of this magnitude that you know, all of those guys, especially the speed down the field guys, are going to be healthy, and that really puts you in a bind, you know, because you've got one receiver who's maybe the best receiver in the league, but not necessarily a speed guy, you know, just a get open, catch everything kind of guy. But then you've got Stills and these other guys that are sitting out there that you know can run, and that's what puts you in a little bit of a bind, because if you don't have an Adoree Jackson, you know, somebody that can run pretty good, then, you know, you're in a bind, because you certainly don't want to put somebody out there on those guys that you know, you're questioning his speed to begin with, because I'll tell you what, now they'll just line up and run right by him, and now, you know, it's 7-0 already.
Now, one guy that has played well, and hadn't played much yet, but has played well, is Blasting Game. Do you, because of what Derrick Henry, his injury, his quad or his hamstring, do you now, as a team, start to insert Blasting Game in a game more as a fullback, lead blocker, just to take some of the possible hits off of Derrick Henry? Because they're going against one of the worst rush defenses in the National Football League, and they need Derrick Henry close, if not 100%, I believe, in the next three games.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Now, you know, the Vandy kid has come in and kind of fit what you always wanted to do as a coach or a GM, which is, all right, I'm going to give you this much responsibility, this much of a workload. Let's see how you handle it. Well, he goes out there and he aces it, you know, which I thought he really played well this week. So you say to yourself, okay, he makes plays. Guess what? We're going to give him more responsibility. And I think you continue to pile it on him until, you know, he reaches a saturation point. But right now, I don't think we have any idea what that is. You know, I think he proved that he can run with the ball, and he can certainly catch the ball, which is something that, you know, we're kind of striving for. He's also a bigger guy, you know, which helps, because, you know, let's face it, when you go from Derek to Lewis, you're talking about, you know, Mutt and Jeff there, you know, the two extremes. And he kind of fits in the middle. You know, I think he may be able to do some things for you on third down and may be able to line up and run some on first down. We don't know that yet. Now, hopefully they've got a much better picture because they see him in practice every day. And if that's the case, then, you know, after the performance this last week, I would have to think that he'll get more opportunities, yeah.
Floyd Reese joining us here. Mike Vrabel, obviously the first third of the season we were questioning, even the first half of the season, a lot of bizarre moments in the game where we all said, you know, kind of, what are you thinking here, coach? And but obviously this team has turned around, large part due to Ryan Tannehill, Arthur Smith. The offensive line has settled in. There's a lot of reasons why this team has gotten better. How much credit does Mike Vrabel deserve for what's going on?
You know, I don't know how you evaluate that. I think when you are what your record says you are, and if that's the case, then he deserves some credit. I mean, let's face it, the move to Tannehill, I didn't think you had much of a choice. You know, I think you kind of, you know, I'd always said, well, Marcus will let you know. You know, we'll go into a game, and after the game, you will either say, he's our guy, we're good to go, you know, lock him in, or, wait a minute now, let's back up. And I have to hand it to Mike. I mean, he had the guts to make the change, and there was no, you know, hum-hawing around. I mean, it was time to make the change. Change was made. Let's move on. And it has proven to be a giant plus. I think he has developed on that team a tremendous locker room. I mean, those guys, and the one phrase you hear almost every one of those guys say when they're talking about the team and the other guys is, we play for each other. You know, and that is really, really important, because they're going out there and they don't care who they're playing. They don't care what, you know, the radio guys are saying. They don't care any of that. As long as we continue to play for each other, we're going to be okay. And they have, I mean, let's face it, you know, you look on offense, the number of guys making plays, and you say to yourself, you know, I didn't know half these guys were on the team. And yet they're out there and they're catching balls and running balls and making plays. And, you know, it boils down to the same deal. Those guys are going out running a pattern and they're saying, I know if I run this correctly, I know if I'm where I'm supposed to be, he will throw me the ball. And if he can throw me the ball, I know I can catch it. We're off and running. And I think you're seeing a bunch of that in that old group.
Floyd, you also have built a great locker room from 2 to 6 every day right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game with Jared Stillman. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
You bet, guys.
Floyd Reese there, former GM of the Tennessee Titans and, of course, host of Jared and the GM. I feel weird calling it by its actual name.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Jared and GM coming up 2 to 6 today. All right, how much credit does Mike Vrabel get for all this? I want to get into that a little bit because Floyd had some interesting thoughts there about the locker room and the decision-making process and how it went down. How much credit does he get? Because the end game situations, they haven't been there anymore. So we'll get to that in just a minute. Also, our Twitter question for the $100 gift card from A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa. We will debut that as well. So get ready on the Twitters there to make sure. Pull over if you're driving. Obviously, it's terrible conditions out there. Be safe. But we'll give you a chance to win a $100 gift card all day today on the show and every day from now until the end of next week. But how much credit does Mike Vrabel get for the turnaround of the Tennessee Titans? Morning Drive, we'll do that when we return right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesaling Studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Braden Gall, Derek Mason, Morning Drive. The text line is open, of course, 615-737-1025. And somebody chimed in. I would love a chance to see Tannehill without Derrick Henry dominating the game to see what he could do with more on his shoulders before we give him $100 million. That's a very interesting point about Tannehill and the contract. If Derrick Henry is, in fact, injured at all, let's say he gets hurt at any point, and you see Tannehill have to carry the team, what does it look like? Because in the NFL, running backs get hurt quite often. Now, I'm not saying Derrick Henry will, but like he's a little banged up now, and it could happen. So,
But that's like saying, well, before... you know, yeah. I want to see Tom... Before I give Tom some more money, I want to see Tom without Gronk. Or I want to see, you know, Garoppolo without his running game. Or I want to see Russell Wilson without his defense. Or I want to see this quarterback without this. I mean, you can't go down that route. I mean, you know, maybe Derrick Henry's not the same running back without Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. I think they work well together. I don't want to see.
Although we've seen Derrick Henry do it with Mario.
I don't want to see Ryan without Derrick Henry, and I'm not basing a contract on that.
I don't want to see the Titans without Derrick Henry.
It's not a Ryan, it's a Titans problem without him.
How much, and by the way, we will have a question that you will need to answer on Twitter all show long today to try to win that $100 Moments Piece Salon and Day Spa gift card. Today we'll announce that again at the end of the show like we do every day this week and next week. An opportunity for you guys to win a great gift for either yourself or somebody else in your life. How much of this turnaround is on Mike Vrabel? Because I think two interesting points from Floyd Reese. One is that they didn't waffle. on making the switch from Mariota to Tannehill. I think that's clearly the right way to handle that. And I know you guys out there all think that, like, I just am in love with Marcus Mariota. I said probably dozens of times this summer, we don't know what Marcus is going to be. I believe in him. I was wrong. But that we're all going to learn together. And Floyd said it. Marcus is going to show you whether or not he's the guy or not. And he showed us. He's not the guy. And so Tannehill stepped in, and now Tannehill is the guy, and he's showing us. And it's just like Jeremy Pruitt. We're all going to learn together whether or not Jeremy Pruitt's a good coach or not. At the beginning of the year, we all thought he was terrible. And then he learned. Vrabel made a bunch of mistakes early in this season, mm-hmm. a bunch of in-game decisions that sort of made us all scratch our heads. But by and large, he has built a great culture and a great locker room where people believe in each other. And he does. Listen, if you're 8-5 and you're the head coach, you probably get too much credit. You maybe get too much blame. But the bottom line is you've won 6 out of 7. You made the switch to Tannehill, and you've built a great locker room. I think he deserves plenty of credit.
Yeah, I think the credit is across the board. I think, the credit goes to John. The credit goes to Mike, Dean, Arthur.
You guys are just first name basis with these guys now?
Yeah, that's how we are. But no, it goes, I mean, the if you want to start giving out congratulations, you got to give it out to the guys across the board. Obviously, Vrabel is the head of that, but, you know, you got to credit Dean Pease because he kept that defense together when the offense wasn't scoring points, when they had to win games because of the defense. And I'm going to tell you first-hand basis, that can get frustrating to a defense. That can divide a locker room. That can, you know, have the defensive guys saying, man, what are y'all doing? Do something, man. We can't continue to do this. So,
and now it's the opposite.
Yeah. When one end is holding up their end of the, when one side is holding up their end of the bargain for a long period of time, it can get a little frustrating. So you congratulate Dean Pease for his ability to keep that defense from complaining about anything, you know, letting that defense know we got to help the offense, stressing we got to help the offense. They're not clicking right now, but if we help them, it makes their job easier. And then you got to thank the offensive line coach because he was getting roasted. People wanted him fired. People wanted the offensive lineman moved around. People wanted guys benched. But he kept those guys together. And whatever he's been doing as of lately, it's been working. You got to thank Arthur Smith because the first 5 or 6 games, we were like, maybe he's in over his head. Maybe this wasn't the right guy for the job. And lo and behold, he kept that offense together. And he kept pressing. He kept pressing. He didn't change anything. And look where they're at now. And then you got to thank Vrabel, you know, because with all of that going on, he still managed, he still preached team. He still kept guys, you know, eyes looking forward and not looking side to side, not worrying about, you know, you're not doing your job, I'm doing my job. When are y'all going to do y'all job?
Yeah.
He kept these guys focused. He kept them together as a team. So the... if you want to start giving out pats on the back, hand claps, you got to give it to the whole team. We got to give it to the whole coaching staff.
No question.
You know, because, I mean, this could have easily been a divided locker room. But all these coordinators stayed together.
And now that I think about it, because I think we talked yesterday about how it's sort of unprecedented what they're accomplishing with a backup quarterback statistically. And I'm not suggesting that Teddy Bridgewater or Devlin Hodges have been statistically on the same level as Ryan Tannehill, but the Saints survive without Drew Brees, and the Steelers are in the playoff mix without Ben Roethlisberger. It is remarkable the job Mike Tomlin and the Steelers have done. And so we're looking at a bunch of teams with backup quarterbacks that are playing well and that are in the playoff race. And the Saints, of course, are at the top of the list. I mean, they've already clinched a playoff spot. So it is an interesting year for quarterbacks as everybody sort of seems to be playing with a backup or a replacement-level guy. What we assumed was a replacement-level player, maybe better than Marcus, has turned out to be one of the better quarterbacks, the stories of the entire season. Again, I just am hesitant to overpay a guy based on an 8-game sample size, I think that's very, very dangerous. But again, that's why John Robinson makes all the big dollars and makes the big bucks. All right, we're giving away a $100 gift card for a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. Do we want to vote on this question real quickly and decide on this? I think there are two good options here.
Okay.
And I want to hear what you guys have to say, Munson and D-Mace. Do we like... What is the best exit strategy for kicking people out of your house at a Christmas party that you are hosting, whether it's family or office or friends, and you're done with the party? How do you get people out of your house to signify or end the party? Or do we want to just go with what is your worst Christmas party experience? Office, in-law, home, friends, family, or other? What do you guys think?
How many people actually host Christmas parties, though?
Way more than you think, young buck.
I think there are a lot.
When you get older, you got to host
a lot of
Christmas parties.
When I spend that Best Buy gift card in Lower Antioch, I'll be hosting Marquise's, Munson's, you know.
But I mean, friends,
Christmas party.
Friends have friend parties all the time. In-laws and families have parties all the time. And even we all have that uncle where we're like, dude, uncle, you're outstaying your welcome.
Well, how about just hosting in general? Just hosting in general.
What do you mean?
Yeah, what's the question?
Well, just, okay, basically, how do you kick people out after hosting a party or event? Now, it don't have to be just Christmas.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's a season.
It makes it more broader because not everybody throws, you know, I don't know.
Okay, no, you're right. I'm with you on that one. Okay, let's do that. Okay. Now, we'll just kind of put air quotes around Christmas, right? Because it's Christmas
because
time.
It's close to Christmas. Yeah, and New Year's is coming up, too.
Yeah. So what is the best course of action to getting people out of your house at a party?
Yes.
When you are clearly tired or done with it or finished or whatever, what is the best strategy to removing people from your house? Tweet us at 1025_MD all show long, and the person who has the best strategy for getting people out of your house at the end of a party will get a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. Sound good?
I like that one.
How do you get folks out your house? At the end of it. Well, that's one strategy.
Get out.
That's one strategy.
Get the step.
Just start flicking the lights. like the club's closing down. All right. What is the Titans' realistic upside should they make the playoffs? That's what I want to know. What is their actual upside? Should this whole crazy thing continue? What is that when we return? Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.